following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right. Welcome. It's Thursday. It's fireside chat time. And the theme of this week, of course, for obvious reasons, has been Holy Week, Passion Week, those days in succession, starting with Palm Sunday, leading up to, of course, what we will commemorate tomorrow, Good Friday, the crucifixion of our Savior, and then as we move towards the resurrection, Easter Sunday. So today we'll be tying into the Thursday events of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Tomorrow, again, of course, Good Friday communion will be served by you. You will have the elements. We'll have elements here in the empty sanctuary, and hopefully you'll have some elements, bread and juice, as close as you can get to that. You don't have unleavened bread, take some bread and flatten it out, and some juice, ideally grape juice, but as close as you can get to that, and then we can have the bread and cup together tomorrow. During our 1 hour Good Friday fireside chat service. Today, of course, our shorter time, and let's just jump right into it. Thinking about this today, I think because I read an article a couple days ago about a memorial that just took place, a curbside, so to speak, in that the family members had to park at the curb and watch as the employees of the cemetery did the interment of the casket of the loved one. And it got thinking about that, thinking about a memorial that I had just done for a family of refuge here the week of when all this came down on the 13th of March. And I thought, you know, the way that we do memorials now is temporarily changed, right? And it's temporary. A little different, of course, but something that hasn't changed is a common sentiment at a memorial. This has not changed, and that common sentiment is those thoughts that go through our head, and I think you've probably experienced this, had these feelings, had these thoughts, had these sentiments. Something like this, you know, I really should have spent more time with, you can fill in the blank, you know, Uncle Joe. I wish I had talked more to my Aunt Mary, or you know, I should have done this for such and such a person. And we think those things, and after someone dies, it's not uncommon. There's certainly no place for self-condemnation when you have those thoughts on the, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda type things. But there is a place for self-introspection. Not self-condemnation, but certainly self-introspection, just to reevaluate, right, on how we do things. And when we have those kind of thoughts, ideas pop in our head, and we're being introspective about it, not condemning towards ourselves, it's good to purpose in our hearts to resolve with God's strength to learn from them and do those things that we think, you know, I should have done that, or I should have said this and such. So, similar could be said for those not attending a memorial per se, but just those that maybe have the painful luxury of knowing that their death is close, or even that a crisis is coming. And so on the Thursday, hours before Jesus went to the hill of Golgotha, also known as Calvary, to die on the cross for us on that Thursday, the day before, Jesus made sure that he accomplished some very key and valuable tasks. This is not to say that Jesus didn't do these type of things beforehand, but he didn't wait till it was too late. Again, things that he had already done, but he made a point to do them at this time. And Scripture makes a point to record them for us. And some of the examples of what I'm talking about, of things that Jesus intentionally did on that Thursday, the day before his death on the cross, come from a couple of accounts. First in John, its gospel, and then in Luke. So in John's gospel, chapter 13, I'm going to read to you just a few verses, verses 1 and then 4 and 5. So we read here in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." He loved them to the end. Verse 4 says that during the supper, and of course this would be the Seder feast, the Passover meal, the Last Supper, that Passover meal time, he rose from supper and he laid aside his garments, it says in verse 4. Then he took a towel and he girded himself. And then after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he had girded. So the point here and the example here is that Jesus made a point to humbly serve his disciples with a really lowly task, quite frankly, of washing their feet, the kind of the lowest task that a household servant would ever be assigned to. It'd be the one that nobody, I don't want to do that for obvious reasons. But he did that. And then in John's Gospel, in chapter 17, we see another example of Jesus intentionally making a point to do something that he did prior to this, but that he made sure that this took place at the end. And that was a time for focusing on intimate fellowship with the Father. In John chapter 17, verse 21, we have recorded the words of Jesus and he praying to the Father and said, "Father, I pray that they'd be one with you," the disciples, the followers of him, "that they'd be one with you, Father, just as we are one." And so at that time, he just valued this fellowship that he had with the Father and desired that for others as well. So very intentional with that. And then the last example I want to give you is from Luke's gospel. Same time period as that Thursday and all, but this is Luke's account of Jesus providing, the scripture calls it admonition, which is just warning with instruction. It's instructional. It's edifying warning and encouragement to Peter, and then a side word to the rest of the disciples as well as it relates to temptation and such. And so let me read to you from Luke chapter 22, and I'll read verse 31 and a few verses thereafter. "And the Lord Jesus said, 'Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.' But he," Peter, "said to him, 'Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death.' And then he," Jesus, "said, 'I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day,'" in other words, dawn won't break, "'before you've denied me three times, that you even know me, that you even know me.'" And then he would go on shortly thereafter and say to the rest of the disciples, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray for that." And so these are examples of Jesus taking some intentional steps, making a point to do something that he valued, that he knew was valuable. And so, again, those things being humbly serving, having deep, intimate fellowship with the Father, and praying for others to have that as well. And then providing just a timely word, an encouragement to pray in that ongoing need because of the ongoing temptations of life. And so these are intentional plans that Jesus made before his departure from the earth. And so with us, here now, in our COVID-19 lockdown mode, and the death of our old normal, I think a lot of us have realized simple things that we perhaps didn't accurately value. The expression that I think we all know, and just, I've heard that, but maybe comes to light more than ever, and that is, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And so absence of what? Absence of people. We say that a lot after a memorial. Absence of people, or absence even of an activity. And so there is a heightened evaluation of, I think at this time, of ways that we've been blessed and in ways that we could be a blessing to others as well. And so as I looked at Jesus' examples, it made me think about these things. It made me think about those things that we're perhaps valuing now more than ever. Things like physical contact, right, with our brothers and sisters. You know, we see a fellow refugee at the store, and maybe they're down the aisle, and oh, you know, there's Mike, and you want to give him a hug or a high five, but oh, you can't. You draw your hand back. And you say, I can't do that right now. Perhaps gathering together in this empty sanctuary for corporate worship. That's a sweet blessing. It's a blessing to hear hundreds of other of your brothers and sisters sing to the Lord with you. Even if they sing off key, it's okay. You probably won't even care about that anymore because you value that. I miss that. I miss those times, and I long for those times. And so there's those varieties, a variety of ways, a variety of opportunities to serve and to be served by. I was thinking of the parking lot ministry and just being served by them. There's probably some of you actually looking forward to somebody telling you where to go in the parking spot. And then the blessing for them to just to be out there and help make sure that everyone gets a spot to park so they could get in a service. And so that's a blessing for them to serve. And the kids ministry, my wife Billy was just saying this morning, man, I miss the little ones and just holding them and assuring them it's going to be all right. Jesus loves you. Mom and dad love you. And they're just in a Bible study and they're going to be back and it's good. And so those things we value and the cafe and the greeters and the blessing for them to do that, to serve, and then the blessing for us to receive what they do in our service. So those things we evaluate and value more, I think, esteem them higher. Family members, right? How many of us have commented that we see people on our street hanging out with family and in their driveway or hear them in their backyards and knowing that they're spending time together. And it's the quantity and the quality of time. You know, there has been a period perhaps for a lot of us is that we dismiss the quantity of time. Well, there's quality time, and quality time is important too, but quantity is important as well. And so we're seeing that now, I think, right? We're evaluating that and thinking, wow, this is special. I value this more. And so all of these, I think we all the more now value them. And therefore, I would say, as we learn from our Savior Jesus, as we always do, as we're empowered by our Savior Jesus, as we always can be, that as we value those things more now, let's resolve now, right? Let's resolve now to value these after the crisis is over, right? To not just forget about it like often we do in those sentiments we have after a memorial, and we just forget about those things we thought, oh, I should have, I could have, why didn't I? And so we resolve to make those a part of what goes on after the crisis, right? Things that we know we should do and we value, things that like Jesus did. He did them at the end, but he did them all the time leading up to it. So that would be my encouragement to you, encouragement from the Lord to me. I pass it on to you. And I want to leave you with this, also from the same day, Thursday of Holy Week, Passion Week, words of Jesus, also from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. It's a paraphrase for you, but so key. Jesus said, don't lose heart. I've got this. Again, obviously a modern paraphrase, but don't lose heart. Be of good courage. You can be of good cheer. Don't lose heart. I've got this. And he does. He does. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you do have this. You have us, Lord, most importantly. We are yours, and you have us. And as your word says, nothing could snatch us out of your hand, Lord. Nothing. It's not even possible. And so, Lord, we take great courage and hope in that. Lord, that helps us not lose heart. Is just to know that, to rest in that, to trust in that. And Lord, I pray that you would help me and my refuge family to resolve, to esteem, to value those people and those things, those activities, those blessings, those opportunities to serve and be served. Lord, we'd value those more and more and resolve to pursue those and to do those and to always esteem them as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714 714- 891-9495. Set free my heart.